This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker?
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%. Vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.
G'day everyone, welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I'm your host Lyle Swithenbank. This is a sportsethos.com presentation. You can follow us on Twitter at ethospelicans at Lyle Swithenbank. Make sure you go and do that. We can see the followers ticking upwards and we appreciate all the support. And, you know, we're going to be here for the next 23 games. You know, 23, it's a bit of a magic number. You know, Michael Jordan, LeBron at times has worn 23. In the AFL, Lance Franklin, some of the all-time greats have worn that number. And, you know, it's also a magic number for us because it's how many games we had left before we went to Canada. We had the All-Star break, 8 days off and 7 because the gallant Pelicans had a return practice a day early, and I appreciate the dedication to their craft and their desire to be great. And I think putting in extra work, it doesn't hurt you. You know, you take a day off, you sacrifice a bit of holiday and, you know, we get the results, of course. That's the way it works. So before I get into the game against the Raptors, because we'll finish on that, and maybe this is a neutral pod, I'll say today. It's going to start really high. I'm going to talk about the All-Star game. We're going to talk about All-Star weekend, and the two key guys from the Pels who got to contribute in that. And then we're going to unpack this Raptors game. And one thing I want to say is I've been critical of people on Twitter at times, you know, being negative and unrealistically, you know, criticizing players and criticizing Willie Green and things like that. And I stand by those comments. At the time, I think there were some unnecessary things said. I thought it was, you know, ridiculous takes out there. If you saw me on Twitter last night, you'd be saying I was being negative. But we need to separate, again, frustration from negativity. Because you've got to be realistic at this point. We talk about these games, this final 23, well, 22 now, after that debacle last night, as a sprint. The NBA season is a marathon. And then you get to that last, I don't know, what, 200-300 meters. And you see the end. Anyone that's run a marathon, not me, but what I imagine, you see it in the Olympics, and they just put the afterburners on. You know, everyone just turns their head and says, nah, it's winning time now. And they somehow gather this extra burst of strength to push themselves to the finish line. And we see some amazing finishes in marathons, particularly when guys have been neck and neck the whole time. We can draw that analogy into the Western Conference. We now have 22 games left. Everyone's around that mark, 23, 22 left, depending on, you know, how many games they cram into this last month and or so of the season. And the West are all neck and neck. They're all clumped together. You know, you watch the Tour de France and everyone is, you know, clumped together in the peloton. And then they have the breakaway group. And we've seen a couple of teams at the top of that. We've seen the Nuggets. We've seen the Grizzlies. The Kings are up there as well. You know, they're at that front sort of jacket-wearing part of the tour, and we're sort of in the middle. Three games back, well, two. Well, I think we're three games back now from third or fourth. but only two back from 13th. We're all running together. So what that means is every advantage you can get, every win you can get, matters. Because at the end of the leg, or at the end of the season, the regular season, we get to play playoffs. That's a reward. You get bonuses for being ahead. You get rewarded for being ahead at the end of the, at the end of the game, the end of the season. But it comes down to determination. It comes down to want. It comes down to putting in energy. It comes down to communication. It comes down to desire. And what I saw last night against the Raptors lacked that. There was one player, Brandon Ingram, who was exempt from this. He was absolutely unreal, and I will not fault anything he did, because he put his team on his back and he willed them despite everyone else on that team doing everything they could to not assist him achieve that goal. There's no such thing as honorable losses when you want to go to the playoffs. If we're at that point and we can say, oh, you know, I need to get my team in the right position to be successful. Yeah, you do. Willie Green talking about that after the game. That's his, it's his go-to line. You know, I need to go and reflect. You do. Because what I saw was woeful coaching, poor decision-making on the field, and then proceeded to just completely throw away a really winnable game against a team that didn't have their best player in Fred VanVleet. Disappointing. Unseriousness. So we'll get to that. We'll finish off on that, because, you know, there was much more exciting things than that 8 days off. But I sort of went on my little roll there, and I'm holding back. I promise you I am. We'll unpack that probably after the break. But All-Star Friday night, we kicked off with the celebrity game. Pretty much a non-event. Was it DK Metcalf, who's absolute man mountain, just dominated as he should. He's a massive human, and completely and utterly decimated the competition. Awesome shot at the end by some random D-grade celebrity to go in, but he was about 7 seconds too late, and that everyone was celebrating like he'd won the game, but instead he just hit a half-court shot. And so you didn't win the game, and you didn't win $1 million. So that's, or if you're in Indiana, $2,000. But, you know, that was, it was just a spectacle, you know, it's entertainment. We then get the rookie showcase, which is the Jordan Rising Stars Challenge, which is now like a four-game rotation, you know, double brackets, two games. Four teams, winners go into a grand final. First to 40 in the first round, first to 25 in the grand final. We had two, you know, participants in that, Trey Murphy and also Jose Alvarado. Now, that was fun. Jose was mic'd up. He's become a bit of the media darling. They all seem to like him. They love his story. The national media are all over him. And it's well deserved. I thought he was fantastic, and what he brought in that game, you know, he was chatting, he was up and about, he was cheering for his teammates, and then he hit the game winner in the grand final and won the MVP. So, you know, unreal. Really well-deserved. He played excellent. That Quentin Grimes was getting going in the grand final, and then they subbed Jose back in, and the kid didn't touch it again. So, and then Jose goes and wins the game for him. Really impressive, and, you know, he walks away with a bit of silverware, and you got to be happy with that. That's great to see our young guys being, you know, the brightest star on that biggest stage, especially amongst their peers. That's really exciting. And when it's an undrafted guy, even more so. So, congrats to Jose on that. Really awesome. And, you know, for me, it holds him in good stead, because the team is in two parts at the moment. It's got a heap of veterans and it's got a heap of young guys. And if the young guys can keep improving and getting that confidence and, you know, getting those reputations, that only raises the floor for us. The ceiling is where, as far as Zion wants to take us. But the floor is you know, the sum of your weakest parts. And if your young guys, let's say they're the weakest, because they're still developing, continue to improve, your floor gets higher. And the worst that you play is going to be pretty good. So, we continue to see that improvement, and, you know, besides against the Raptors. Into Saturday night, we head to, well, they had the three-point comp. That was, you know, all right. Dame won that. Had the skills challenge, which was just bizarre, and they should retire that permanently because it's, I don't understand why you'd put a whole heap of non-shooters in a shooting competition, but that's okay. And then we have the dunk contest. Now, this has been always hammered for the last few years. I think Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon really ruined it with how good theirs were. Everything will be compared to that forever. They're the best dunk contest I've ever seen and probably will ever see again. And so we saw this, well, firstly, Karl Malone, which, you know, I'll mention him purely because of how ridiculous it is that he's allowed anywhere near a place with children. But he really, we saw a dunk contest that completely, I suppose, moved it in the right direction. We saw Matt McClung, G League player, can dunk living hell out the ball, and Trey Murphy. They go dueling. And we know Trey Murphy can jump out of the gym, and he was fantastic. I think Trey Murphy had probably the most technical dunk at All-Star Weekend with the tomahawk half-spin back scratcher between the legs, you know, dunk that he did, windmill dunk. That was by far the hardest. Matt McClung did that. It's a 50. But, you know, apparently get penalized for being 6'9". So that was disappointing. But then again, that's not to take away from Mac. I think he won the dunk contest for sure. I mean, there was no question of how good he was. I just think Trey was robbed of a couple of 50s. I still think that Mac rightfully won. And, you know, I'm not going to dispute any of that to say Trey was robbed. I just think he deserved a couple more 50s because he had some really cool dunks. But anyway, you know, it's all for fun. And I think Trey Murphy got a lot of respect around the league for how well he participated and how well he held himself. You know, we saw a lot of the videos of these guys, Jose, Trey, the young guys running around, interviewing other players and, you know, really working the microphone there, which I like to see. It shows their personality. And there wasn't many other young guys, well, that we got to see running around doing that same thing. And when you've got that opportunity, you know, that holds you in good stead for future development. It shows leadership. It shows confidence, being able to public speak. All of those things come into becoming a well-rounded NBA player. You need to be in front, well, you are in front of the camera. So you need to be able to communicate and, you know, be confident. And I don't think there's any problem with Trey or Jose in terms of confidence. Then we had the All-Star game, bit of a non-event. I think they scored like a million points to a million points and one or something. And no one defended and no one was really interested in it. So, you know, we move on and they need to work out what they're going to do with that. Or, you know, whether or not there has to be some sort of rule that you need to score so many or you have to defend so much or otherwise you can sit on the bench. But there's no accountability in that. No one really cares. And we watch it. We're going to watch it anyway. Like, let's be honest. We'll whinge about it. The NBA got a little bit of buzz about the All-Star Weekend hashtag and, you know, then we move on and now we're back into the games. So, all in all, perfectly great break. Pelicans came back early and, you know, congrats to Jose and also Trey for runner-up in the dunk contest and Jose for that MVP. Very awesome and a great representation of the Pelicans at All-Star Weekend in Salt Lake City. So, we'll go to a break, we'll come back, and we're going to, unfortunately, unpack this Raptors game. And so, if you're ready for my dripping sarcasm, well, settle in, because that's what's coming. So, we'll be back after this.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans. Thanks for listening to all of the adverts in the middle. I'm sure you did. I'm sure you sat through it all. Okay, so I've sat forward in my chair. I've sat forward in my chair and I've we're going to get real. Let's get real. We're going to talk about the debacle in Toronto. The tussle in Toronto? Let's find some sort of name for it. I don't know. The turmoil in Toronto. We flew up there. We came back a day early because we're admirable like that. CJ made a big song and a dance about having to work on his day off. But didn't show that he did. We lost 115 to 110. We were down by 15 at one point. First quarter, we woke up, and it was the third quarter. And, sleptwalk through the first two quarters. Bad basketball, bad rotations. We started with Josh Richardson instead of Trey, so the spacing was all funky straight away. That's not to discredit Josh Richardson, because he got a heap of good steals and defended the living daylights out of it. It just afforded Brandon Ingram absolutely no room to operate, because they all like to shoot mid-range. And Herb is not the spacing threat that Trey is. So, there's got to be reflections on the at the review committee when they review this game and look at the film. There's got to be some discussions about being able to be flexible on your rotations. If you're the coach, and this is directly, I'll look down the barrel of the microphone to Willie Green. If you're the coach, you don't have to give anyone minutes. You don't have to give anyone a certain number of shots. You don't have to appease anyone. The buck stops with you. Between the lines of tip-off to the final siren, do what you want. And if there's someone telling you you can't do that, then you need to stand up for yourself and say, I need to have this autonomy. Because some of those rotations, I'm gonna give you the benefit of the doubt and say someone else told you to do this. Because I don't think, I have too much respect for you to think that you would just sub players out when we were on a roll. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt here. And we talked about this with David Grubb, that we need someone there that can get in your ear. Perhaps a senior coach that has no aspirations of taking a job. And say, just leave him in for a couple more minutes. Just leave him in. Just leave him in for a couple more minutes. Because there were some blunders. There were some blunders. And it was very obvious which players you trust and which players you don't trust. So, frustrating. And, everyone who watched it knows what situations they were. There was a run, went on a 7-0 run at the end of the third with Brandon Ingram, Jose, I think Najee was on. It might have been Trey as well. And then Larry, I think, was on. Raptors force a timeout because we cut it back to 8. Fantastic. Look at us cooking. B.I. had something like 12 in the third quarter. And then we start up and B.I.'s sitting on the ground. And Siakam comes in. B.I.'s sitting on the bench. And CJ's in. And then they go on an 11-4 run to close the third quarter. And all of a sudden you've dug yourself a hole again. If B.I.'s not healthy and can't play an extra 2 minutes of a quarter knowing that he's about to get a break, and he's just had a timeout, what are we doing? Why is he playing? Because I can guarantee Brandon didn't say, yeah, cool, take me out. Because from what I know of him, he likes to play. I don't know. It was bizarre. And then we blunder again. JV has got 4 fouls. And I'm going to confirm that he finished with 4. People say that he had 5. How many did he have? So he had 4 personal fouls in the last quarter. So he had 2 to give. And we take him out about the 5.5-minute mark. And we were on a bit of a roll. So we took him out. Poeltl got 1 offensive rebound and 1. 2 offensive rebounds and 1. Blocked the ball off the other side. Got another offensive rebound and 1. And Jonas is standing next. Well, after about 4 minutes, Jonas stands up with 2 minutes to go. He goes and stands alongside Willie Green. And we bring him back in and go on a run. Did we have timeouts left? Like, what were we doing? What was the idea? If Jonas gets 2 fouls in 5 minutes, well, that's on him. Then you put Billy Hernan Gomez in. I don't understand. It's a head scratcher. And that goes down to coaching. I don't go to the assistants. The assistants, I couldn't care less. It doesn't come down to them. You're the one standing on the sideline with your clipboard. You have to be better than this. I know you're in your second year. I know it. But you've been to the playoffs. You've played, you've coached this team. You know what you've got in front of you. The buck stops with you, Willie Green. You need to be better than that, because what happens is you threw that game away. Now, oh, well, you know, Gary Trent hit a good shot down the stretch. Shouldn't have mattered. We go quarter by quarter, 23 to 19, 31 to 26, 38 to 20, 32. It was almost siren to siren. Last quarter, 33 to 23, favor of us. You dug yourself a hole from the start. And every time you had an advantage, you took it away. Jonas was murdering Poeltl out there. He wasn't getting his fouls from Poeltl. He was getting his fouls from the guys at the point of attack defense, letting them run past him. Boucher going coast to coast. We had Siakam going coast to coast. Precious Achiuwa going coast to coast. How is that okay? How is a center allowed to run coast to coast? Get in front of him. That comes down to your guards. It comes down to Herb Jones gambling. You put your center in foul trouble because you leave him out, you hang him out to dry by not picking up the person running downhill. If you've got to bump the person, then bump the person. Stop what happens, because a foul up there on one of your guards, you've got that many defensive guards now. If Herb gets a foul, that's okay, because there's Najee and there's Josh Richardson, and there's also Dyson coming back. There's enough fouls to give that you can just put another one out there. It's so infuriating, and I'm still, now I think about it again, I'm mad. But it was just ridiculous. Turnovers. You have 7 turnovers, what, in the first half? First quarter, I think, almost. Somehow we drew in points off turnovers, 21 to 21. But that's outrageous. You can't do that. You can't let yourself get in a hole. We shot 38% in the first half from the field. We had a bucket load of free throws. Bucket load. Somehow they managed to make that 25 apiece in free throws. I don't know how that happened. Because in that first half, the only reason we were even close to being in the game is because they bailed us out with free throws that they were not giving on the other end. Man, we hit 13 three-pointers, which is like some of the best shooting that we've had. 43% from three. 23 assists is not enough. Come on. Offensive rebounding, 11-6. That's the game. That's the game there. And it happened when Larry Nance came on the court. And I love Larry. I think he is a great contributor. I think in situations, he is fantastic. But you cannot take out the one advantage that you have in Jonas Valanciunas when you're playing a 7-footer. It's unfair on Larry to be put on a 7-footer that loves to offensive rebound. It's not fair on him. He's not going to be strong enough to move this guy. And then you switch, and he switches out onto the perimeter. And then it's CJ guarding him. Like, come on, what are we doing? It's a head scratcher, because you had 8 days off. Everyone was fresh. Everyone was back. I just do not understand it. This shot hunting mentality. Yeah, what's CJ? He ended up, I don't know how he ended up 50%, 8 of 16 shooting. I do not know it, because he was woeful. He was really bad. Brandon Ingram had 6 turnovers. I don't know how that happened. But he ended up with 36 points, so he did his job. Frustrating, frustrating, frustrating. I mean, Trey Murphy had 23 minutes. I don't know why he's lost his starting role. I mean, if you want to play a defender, then take Herb off. Because Herb was woeful. I'm sure he wasn't even that good at defending. He was at times bad. Playing Olay, gambling dancing, defense. Annoying. But, so how do we fix this? You know, I can ramble on and be disappointed and be upset and things like that. But there's no point in just getting on everyone and not saying that, well, I mean, I can't do it better. I'm a professional coach. I'm a professional basketballer. But I've watched enough of it to say what the things they missed that are usually evident in Pelicans basketball. That's what they call it, Pelicans basketball. That's the brand that they want to play. They play with intensity. At times, we were lackadaisical. The spark plugs weren't providing spark. And, I mean, besides the fact that it shouldn't take the starters someone to come off the bench to kickstart your offense, the ball stuck. It stuck all the time. You know, Brandon Ingram was phenomenal. Phenomenal. But he had to work so hard for his points. He had to work so hard. If we didn't have him, if he missed like two or three more shots, we get beaten by like 20 points. Just because of the gravity that he was pulling, because he was so deadly on the court, they had to respect him. And when you waste a game like that, you know, he almost had 40 points and we wasted that opportunity to win. The schedule coming up is not easy. All the teams that we got to play, I know it says, oh, we got the, you know, these are the easiest thing. But we're in the West. Every team's basically drawn. No, we're playing the 13th. Yeah, but they're one game behind us. So, you know, how is that? How is that good? We've got to play the Warriors, Lakers. We've got to play Spurs always upset us. OKC always upset us. There's teams there that we've got to play. Rockets always this time of year play pretty free. The Kings we've got to play. They'll beat us because they're a better side as well. We never played them with De'Aaron Fox yet. The schedule isn't easy. And despite that we say, oh, you know, it's soft, well, we've got to play the Magic. Magic beat us last time. So, upswing. This is in the rearview mirror. The guys can't be happy with that. You can't be, like, happy about the result. It was cold in you know, Toronto. Okay, I'll give you that. It's a fun city. Maybe you're out on the Terps too late last night. Accountability is what we really need, you know. We need to play with intensity. We need to be accountable. We need leadership from the coaching staff. The coaching staff need to stand up and say, guys, that wasn't good enough. And I'm sure they are. I'm sure Willie Green's sitting there going, man, I'd made some blunders. But we need to have that accountability and we need to have that communication across the bench saying, hang on, nah, we're doing something wrong here. If you don't trust your team, then get rid of your team. Get someone else. Get someone you trust. And this, I'm sure they'll clear house in the offseason. I think you have to. Not Willie Green. I think he's solidified. But getting some coaching staff that weren't all applying for his job, I think is going to be critical. We've had some long-term holdovers there. And, you know, from all three of the last coaches, these guys have been there. Which is tough because, you know, we've got some great people there. But perhaps that is what we need to do, is clear house and find people that Willie Green hand selects. I need this guy. I want this guy. This guy brings this. He's played for enough coaches. He's coached with enough coaches. Go and get people that you like that will help you, make you better coach. What I need to see is I need CJ to accept that he is the 2IC until Zion comes back. You can't try to pretend that you're Dame Lillard. You can't pretend you're Steph Curry because you're not. You know what you are. You can get hot and you can score the ball. Play within the offense. You don't need to go shot hunting. You got 16 shots. You got 16 shots. Plus all the ones that you turned into free throws or turnovers. You're going to get your opportunity. Don't go shot hunting. You need to play within the offense. It's simple. We need to feed Jonas Valanciunas. If he has an advantage inside, give it to him. Because what happens is he misses, and then if he does miss, he jumps up and grabs it because he's massive. Or he passes out. There was a great pass from the post out to Najee Marshall, open three. Trust your players. Play with like the every game you lose is another, you know, kick out of the Jenga tower that is the playoffs. Every time you lose a game, we take two of the little stands out, and then all of a sudden you're just standing on that little middle block in the Jenga tower, and it's swaying, and you're going, well, geez, this makes it tougher, because then your next time, you've got to pull it out again. Got to get serious. That's what I want. And I'm sure the guys will do that. Now, this has obviously been a pretty, disciplinary pod. And for me, this is my venting because it's frustrating. It is, as a fan. I feel sorry for people that, pay money to go and see them. I've only done it a couple of times. But if they're going to continue to dish this up, well, what's the point of the playoffs? You can't win on the road. You know, we're 10 and 20 on the road. We're 30 and 30 overall and 20 and 10 at home. You only get to play a couple of games at home. You go to a seven-game series. Awesome. You get your first two, say you finish seventh. You play two away, then you get two at home. Well, you can't win on the road, so what happens? You're down two, then you go home and you drop one of them, then you're down 3-1. Then we're sitting back here again in June. And they're all sitting alongside me watching. So, disappointing, but it's time to get serious. It really is. So, I think that's enough of my carry-on. We'll be back against the Knicks. We've got the Knicks coming up. We're on the road, five of the next six. Got Portland a couple of times, which, they're up and about. They'll be trying to make a push regardless of who's on the court. And I think the only home game is against Portland coming up for Pride Night. So make sure you show out at the Smoothie King Center for that. Otherwise, I'm going to leave it at that. This has been the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I'm your host, Lyle Swithenbank. At Ethos Pelicans, at Lyle Swithenbank. Thank you for tuning in and indulging me as I vent about a terrible game in Canada. Stay safe. We'll be back after the next game. And of course, bye bye.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.